does to help in the Sunday school. Couldn't do it without her. And she's got more patience when it comes to those little departments, you know, and work with the kids. And so we just turn that part over to her. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles tonight, Jeremiah 18th chapter, we're going to try to share something here. We'll try to be brief as possible. And I appreciate the church. I appreciate all that God's doing, all things God's going to do. You know, sometimes we don't always see the finished product. A lot of times we pray and we pray, and sometimes we think, Lord, when are you going to ever answer the prayer? And I thought about Daniel praying 21 days, and finally the answer came. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the way it is sometimes in your life. You know, we got this mentality today that God's got a drive-through. We just go right up there and, you know, you get an ice cream cone at Dairy Queen, just pull up the drive-through. Well, it don't work that way in God. How many knows that? Sometimes you got to earnestly pray. You got to seek Him sometime. Sometimes there's fasting and praying. It's not always quickly that He moves. I've had times where He has instantaneously delivered in some situations, but I found sometimes it's a walk of faith. It's trusting Him. But how many knows He will come through? He will come through. He will answer. Now, it may not be the way you want it answered. Now, you know, there's been a few times I said, now, Lord, I didn't think I was going that route. But see, God's driving this show, not me. And sometimes He moves different. And that's all right. That's all right. But how many knows He'll do it the right way? You may not always like it going through it, but when He gets done, it'll be right. It'll be right. Praise the Lord. All right. It says here in the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now, you know, Jeremiah is a prophet, and he's going down not to preach a sermon. He probably didn't realize this at the time, but the Lord was preparing him for a sermon. But he's going down to watch this potter. I don't know about you, but you see them potter, that wheel, there's a wheel and some hand motion, and they're forming a vessel. And it has to be done just so, very carefully. And let me read a couple more verses, and I'll let you sit down. He said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was rotten to work on the wheels. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. And at that instant I shall speak a nation, and concern the kingdom to pluck it up, and to pull down, and destroy it. And if that nation against whom I pronounce turn from the evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. You may be seated under the presence of the Lord. But I was thinking there, like I say, he went to not so much preach, but to actually get a sermon illustration right before him as he's seeing this potter shaping vessels. You know, I thought over this congregation tonight, I thought about a lot of us probably had dreams and thoughts and directions that we thought we'd be going our life. Maybe some of us didn't even visualize even being here tonight. Maybe you thought you'd be somewhere else doing some other work. And probably some of us didn't even realize we'd be a congregation together. I don't know. Maybe we visualized being somewhere else. But how many knows God has a way of fitting things and putting people together? We all come up sometimes of different nationalities sometimes, different families, and we don't always have the same traditions. And that's all right. That's all right. We're made up of different things. But how many knows when God does a work, He does a good work, doesn't He? He does a good work. And He's watching this potter. You know, I've been around a few of them watching them. It's amazing how they do that, man. I mean, they got that foot going, you know, and they got that hand going inside that vessel, and they're shaping that rim. And how many know sometimes it don't always go just like they thought it would? Sometimes you have to take that vessel and just clump it all back up. And you know, there's been a few times God should have just took the clay of me and just tossed it over in the corner. But how many knows God don't operate that way? God's a very patient God, isn't he? Said he's long-suffering. And sometimes I look and, you know, if it had been my way with some folks, I'd been like, well, I wouldn't waste my time with them. I've been done with them. But how many knows God don't do that? And I'm thankful that God didn't do me that way. There was times he should have just clocked it on in, said he's done. But God dealt, moved. Sometimes he'll bring situations your way. If he won't get you to turn one way, he knows how to turn you. That's why I say sometimes when God calls and he asks you to come, you ought to come while it's easy. You ought to come while it's easy. I'm telling you. When he comes, how many knows it's a privilege when God even calls to you? I've heard people say, well, he owes that to me. He don't owe you anything. He owes you hellfire. But in his infinite mercy, and it's beyond me how he works. He wants, well, he said he came to save the whole world, didn't he? That's what he gave his life for. He intended that the whole world would be saved. When he came down, you know, I thought about, you know, I was thinking the other day, he's in the splendor of heaven now. I don't know about you. I've been a few places that I thought, man, it don't get any better than this, you know. This is great. But I thought of him being in heaven. How much better could it be? Walking the splendors. Had everything. But God needed somebody to come down and die for this old mess of a world. And he said, Father, I'll go. I'll go. Man, that took something right there, didn't it? When I think about that, to think you would leave heaven to come down and give your life. Now, no doubt he probably heard, I don't know why you're going down there. They ain't going to serve you. They're going to turn their back on you. Well, he came to his own and they received him not. That was a pretty hard rebuke, I think, or a pretty hard place when you think of your own people to forsake you. And I've never experienced that totally where my own people just denied me, but he did. He was doing nothing but good. There was nothing he done that wasn't good, that wasn't merciful. And they received him not. I don't know how you'd feel about that. You know, come in your family and you've done everything you know, and they just act like you wasn't, you know, just get out of here. That's the way they treated him. And here he is, healing people. I mean, when you look at his track record, all you find him doing was healing people, trying to restore the brokenhearted, trying to lift up those that are broken and seem like downhearted. All he was trying to do was lift them up, help them, be a refuge to them. But it seemed like that's the way it is in this life. Even as a Christian, people will throw that in your teeth. Ah, you're one of them do-gooders. You heard that, ain't you? You're a do-gooder. I had a lady the other day, they were talking about atheists. I thought, they ain't a atheist in hell tonight. They're all believers. But it's too late. That's the sad part. A lot of times, you know, we always look at, you know, you ever heard that thing about the grass is green on the other side? But it's usually a septic tank on the other side. It ain't what you thought. It ain't what you envisioned. And that's why I say, when God calls tonight, make it easy on yourself. Don't wait till he causes you to have to go through something catastrophic to bring you around, to turn you. Oh, God wouldn't do that. God himself don't necessarily want to do that. But sometimes he tries to get you turned around. Sometimes he'll use things close to you. And why would you take that chance? Why don't you just come to him when he calls? A lot easier. A lot easier. But I thought about this vessel. You know, I thought about the song that we sang from time to time. He is the potter. I am the clay. Aren't you glad that he was long-suffering with you? Aren't you glad that he took that second chance? You know, I know we say sometimes God's a God of second chances. I've known God third chances, four chances. I've seen some people that God seems to be so merciful to. In my mind, I'm like, that's beyond me. Why does he go to that limit with them? And I've seen others that hear the gospel one time. And I don't, that's his business. And they die in a car wreck or some terminal disease, and they never get another opportunity. And I wonder if that sometimes, but how many knows that's his business. That's God's business, how he does. I'm just thankful one day that I heeded him. Aren't you? Aren't you glad one day that you said, yes, Lord? You heard him speak and you went and said, Lord, here I am. I'm coming this time. And I'm going to tell you, there's never been a better life that I found than living for God. It's been the best life that I've ever had. I've never regretted turning to the Lord because he's been good to me. He's been good to my family. And I look around tonight and I see my grandchildren. Wow, you know, it's a blessing to think he allowed you to see grandchildren. And man, I love them. They come around, they butter old Papa all up, and they know just what to say. They know just what to say. Papa, I just love you. Man, that just melts me. Woo! I can't say no after that. I know sometimes we got to, but it's hard for me. I love them. And I love the kingdom of God. I'm glad that he allowed me the opportunity and called me one day into his marvelous work. It ain't always been easy. I've had a few times to preach in some prisons, and I've had a few times to preach in some nursing homes, and been a few times I just preached in a house where there wasn't but three or four people. But to me, that was still as important if it had been a house full of folks. Because, see, you're dealing in the kingdom of God. You're trying to win souls. You're trying to turn people's lives around for God. And everybody that we can head out is one less that the hell gains. Don't be complacent in the work of God sometimes. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't have this great big congregation and all that. But whatever God called you to do, be faithful in that. If it's just two or three, if it's just a jail cell, if it's just a prison, go to it. Do it as heartily as you can because it's worth it in the kingdom of God. I try to approach every service like there's 300 people there. If there ain't, I'm still preaching like they might be. Because I never know what I may walk into. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, don't you? He's called me. And that's a special calling when the Lord calls you. Because there's certainly a lot of places we could have been tonight. But we're here at Brooks, Kentucky tonight. And you're important. I want to encourage you tonight. I think sometimes the old adversary bangs on us. And he tries to make us feel like we're insignificant. I'm going to tell you something. You're a child of God. Important. And when he picks on you, he ain't picking on you just for spite. He's picking on you because you're a king kid. Some of you really are king's kid, ain't you? That's right. I'm taught your last name. But how many knows you're a king's kid tonight? And my big brother can whip the devil on any ground. Why, when he was on Calvary being crucified, why, he put a whooping on him even though he was hanging and getting ready to die. He whipped the devil. He won the victory for me. He paid my redemption, set me free, washed my sins. And that's why I come tonight. That's why I sing, because I'm free. That's why I sing, because I'm happy. You see people sometimes, I'm a Christian. Really? Wow. Look like you've been eating persimmons through a straw. Act like they ain't had nothing good. Let me tell you something. God's been good to you. He's been good to you. Been merciful to you. And I look at these verses and I think about that great creator. Man, think about that. There's a lot of people he could have saved. He saved you. He called your name. My dad, years ago, You know, it's been so many years, and I never thought I'd ever say this. He's been gone for a few years now. And sometimes I used to, in my mind, I say, I just love to hear his voice. I just love. One time I came across a tape that I'd had in my closet probably, I don't know how long. And he had, was doing some kind of recording there, and I heard him say, this is a recording by so-and-so. And it was his voice. And I was like, wow. I know that may not seem like much to you, but that was important to me. I heard my dad's voice, you know, after 30 years. Sound good. Seems good to me. I heard him a lot of times when I was younger. Sometimes it was good when he hollered for me, and sometimes it wasn't so good. But how many knows I never got a whipping I didn't deserve? He didn't just pick me up and just want to whop on me. There was something I'd done, something I didn't do. But he had a way of lining me up, let me tell you. He sure did. I appreciate the Lord. How many know sometimes in our lives we disobey him? And how many knows the punishment's not always pleasant? But you know, he chastises us, not because he enjoys it, because he loves us. He wants to line us back up. How many knows, you know, if he let us go and we end up in, you know, sinning and getting out of the grace of God, and then we end up in hellfire. But he tries to keep us curved. He tries to keep us on the straight and narrow. And we ought to be thankful when he whips us. And I've been whipped a few times. I'm not going to say I haven't, because I have. I'm honest with you. Been a few times he's had to correct me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And I know you do. I thought about the designs. You know, I look around tonight. There's different designs here tonight God's made. We don't all look alike. Aren't you glad? God's unique. God's unique. I mean, he builds lots of people, fixes them. You know, nobody looks the same. That's great. That just shows his creativity. And I thought about, he's talking about those trees and all that beauty that we see. Who can make that but a mastermind? It had to be God do that. Look at every one of us. None of us alike except in God. We come to a common faith, come to a common belief, and we trust God. We pray for one another. We love one another. Do we fail one another from time to time? Why, sure. But we have enough love and fortitude about ourselves that we forgive them. We have forgiveness in our hearts, and we pray, and we ask God to help them. We don't just discard them. We're human. We're human. Sometimes we get in the heat of the battle. There's been times I get in the heat of the battle. Some of these other brothers, maybe we're not ourselves that particular night. But I've had people reach over and say, brother, I'm praying for you. Man, they didn't know what that done for me. I was like, whew. Sometimes it made me ashamed, to be honest with you. Because I thought, Lord, I should have come better equipped than that. Because, you know, we do pray for one another. We do love one another. And I thank God for this church. I appreciate this people of Calvary Holiness Church doing a great work for God. Keep on keeping on. It's going to be worth it one day when we step across the portals of glory and we see our Savior face to face. As Brother Webb says so many times, he wants to just kiss his feet. That's all I'm going to do is kiss his feet after what he's done for me, and how he's paid the price on Calvary. You know, sometimes our lives get stiff. Sometimes we get hard. God has to go back in there and break it up. Sometimes we need to break up our fallow ground. He tells us in the Word. We need to break it up. We need to loosen it up. Not come in so critical. Come on. Let's give each other a break here. Huh? We're not God-like. We're trying to be. But we're not perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're not sensitive toward the Lord like we should. Let's not get on one another's cases about that. Let's pray for one another. There may be a day I don't come in so good. I may need your prayers that day. Another day you may come in. You may need my prayers. But the main thing is we stay together. We stay in unity. Let me tell you something. If we stay in unity, there's nothing can separate us. There's nothing can defeat us if we stay in unity with God. And with each other. I thought about where the scripture said, yeah, sometimes we need to be reshaped. I know I do. I've had a few times a preacher had to make an attitude adjustment. Huh? How many's ever had the preacher come down your line? Oh, yeah. And at the time, it wasn't pleasant. You're like, man, why did he have to get there? He was doing good, but he had to get over there on my situation. How many knows God's equal opportunity? He takes care of it all. He don't miss nothing. He can't allow just anything to get to heaven. There's some people got the ideal. You know, I'm saved. You been to church regularly? Ah, bless him, I was there about 10 years ago. If I did my marriage like that, I'd come out and find my suitcase on the porch. Yeah. But some people treat their God that way. We just act like we just come in anytime we want to, and everything's going to be all right. We're going to have a rude awakening. Rude awakening, because God expects faithfulness. He expects us to be in his house. And you know what? We ought to worship. We ought to praise him like it's our last service. Because one of these days, we could be appraising him, go home that night, and we could be on the other shore. We never know. Remember a little sister in our church one time? She told us, she said, I love y'all. She said, I don't always understand everything. I'll be honest with you. But she said, I support you people 100%. She said, I'll see you Wednesday night. Tuesday night, she went home to be with Jesus. So you never know. You never know. And I thought about, you know, God making these cups and, yeah, so to speak, and, you know, taking our stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh. He said in Ezekiel 36:26, he said, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Isn't he great? I mean, you know, sometimes you meet people, if you'd met them years ago, you'd have thought, woo, what a buzzsaw. But when God gets in there, he softens them up. He makes them special. I'm telling you. I thought about the story where, you know, the potter, he had two sons. I'm not going to go lengthy into that. I'm just going to skip the highlight. But here are these boys, you know, had the older and the younger. And the younger, you know, hey, Dad, you know, I'm kind of tired of hanging around here. Let me paraphrase a little bit. He said, I want to kind of get out of my own. I've been around here a long time, and I like to have a portion of what's coming to me, which is really not right. That was rebellious to even mention such a thing to your father like that. But how many knows he left the father's house, thought he'd go out and do his own thing. But after many days, and I've seen a lot of people leave the father's house, think they were really going somewhere. But after they got out their ways, they begin to remember what it was like when you used to be in the Holy Ghost services and God was shouting and moving on people and you're seeing people touched and under the feelings of God's Spirit. And there's nothing like that, man, when you see God moving. How many knows you ever seen the Holy Ghost hack and move in a service and meet the whole building? Just right everything. You see, like, after the service done, it's such a hush in the building because he's brought peace. He's took all that division. He's took all that confusion. And he's moved it out the door because God's a mastermind. God is God. He can do anything. He can hear all of our prayers. We can all pray in the service tonight all at once. But he hears us individually. That's amazing to me. That's God. Only God can do that. Well, how many knows after many days, the old younger boy got to thinking, man, I sure remember back in Dad's house when Dad had a little bit of an order, told me how to do things. I remember that fire, how that food smelled, and just hearing all the things at home. Here he was out in a far country. He had drifted out so far in places he never dreamed he would have got. And here he's out there eating old husk out of a pig pen. And he thought about, hey, man, I remember what it was like in my father's house. We had everything. We had the Spirit of God. Dad, come by my bed and pray for me before I go to bed. Asking God to protect me, asking God to watch over me. But how many knows after a little while, he'd spent everything he had. You know, I've been around those friends as long as you had a lot of money. Oh, there's right there with you, man. Oh, there's your best buddy. You ran out of money all of a sudden. It was like, I ain't got time for you. I got going down the road. I ain't got time for this because you wasn't supplying the meal ticket no more. How many knows we have an adversary who does that to us? He thinks everything's great as long as we're in his ballpark. He's got everything going. But that young boy got to thinking about home. And he thought, you know what? I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell Dad, Dad, I'm no longer fit to be your son. Don't even make me in that gender. Just make me one of your servants. That'd be good enough for me. That'd just be appreciation of me to just come home. Just let me be your servant. I don't want nothing else. But see, Daddy been waiting a long time. Daddy been looking down that road. I believe every night, every evening, I believe Daddy got up by that road. And I believe Dad looked down that road, wondering, could he come home tonight? Could this be the day he comes home? Night after night he did that, evening after evening, looking down that long road. But one afternoon, he began to look down the road. And what was standing down the road was there was this boy. Dad ran with everything he had within him. Because, you see, according to law, he was a rebellious son. He was only worthy to be stoned in that kind of a case. But his dad wanted to run to him and give him that armor protection, showing what God does for us as believers. He puts his arms of protection. That penalty of sin, that penalty of death is no longer upon us. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He's made us his child. We're fit for the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, he told him, said, man, get that fatted calf. He said, get that music going. For my son that was dead is alive and he's home. Well, you know, the eldest boy, you know, sometimes we get like that. We've been in the house of God a long time. We served him a lot of years. And a new convert comes in and, you know, everybody starts making a do over that new convert. And after a while, we're like, well, I've been serving God all these years. And look at that. They go over and flock around him. I've been right here. I've been faithful. I ain't never disappointed God. You know, I ain't never done nothing to disappoint him. And they treat him that way. It was rightfully so to treat them way because they were lost. But now they've been found. And that's the way he told his oldest son. Said, look, you got to understand. He was lost, but we found him alive. He's our flesh and blood. He's saved. What about you, friend? How is it with you tonight? How is it? I mean, if you got out in that far country and you thought everything was going to be so-so and you've really noticed that it ain't really what you thought. It really isn't what you thought it would be. You thought it'd just be perfect. But at nighttime, you lay there at night and you have those thoughts come. If he came for me tonight, I wouldn't be ready. If I die tonight in the condition I'm in right now. You see, that's what people don't realize. What you're in right now. Bible says as a tree falls, so shall it lay. If you're not serving him now and you die, guess what? You missed it. You missed it. Look at Judas. He kissed heaven's door. How close could you got? He kissed heaven's door and missed it. You need to make your calling and election sure while you got your right mind, while you can reason, while you can talk to God. How many knows God's reasonable? He said he was. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. How could you beat that? How could you beat that? I wonder tonight, how is it with you, friend? If God called for you tonight, would you be ready? Or would there be that question mark? I remember a date when I was ready. I remember time when I was ready. But what about tonight? You got to keep it current. You got any ill feelings in your heart toward anybody? Tonight's a good night to clean that out. Have you thought, you know, I've had people tell me, well, if I could just get them, I could just fix them. They don't know what spirit they're of. That's not the spirit of God. Well, you got that in you tonight to get even. I'm going to get even. I'm going to settle that score. You better hold on to that. You better ask God to get that out of there. No, has everybody treated me perfectly, right? Not always, but I have to learn forgiveness. I have to learn to pray for them. It's hard sometimes when somebody does sometimes despitefully trying to use it against you. But how many know we still have an obligation to forgive them? It ain't easy, but it wasn't easy for God, was it? When I think what they did to him, put him on Calvary's cross, slapped him, mocked him. Soldiers even got down, gambled over his robe. Here he is a dying, no respect. Why don't you come down and save yourself? You saved others. He could have. He could have came down. But you know what? He was thinking, you and I in the future. If I come down, then all this would have been for naught. But he stayed the course. He stayed the course, church. And that's why we can make heaven our home. Come to the piano. Don't want to rattle. I feel the wagon emptying. And I want to be obedient to God. But I do want to ask you tonight, how about it, friend? You see, I want you to go to heaven with us. I do. I think heaven's going to be the most glorious place. And how many know there's going to be plenty of room? One old guy sung that old song, 1,500 miles of elbow room. Can you imagine? Woo-hoo. Shout all you want. Run as far as you want to. Never run out of room. What a glorious time in God. I'm a king's kid, man. I feel good. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. I want to give that invitation to you, friend. Don't take it lightly tonight. How about it with you? Is everything okay? See, sometimes I think everybody's saved, but then sometimes I look at the congregation and I say, only God really knows, and only you, some of you really know. I'll not judge you. It's up to you. What about it? Is everything all packed up? How many knows we're living in the last days? He could come for night. We could be celebrating a special Thanksgiving in heaven. We want you to go. We want you to be here with us. It's important. How about it? Saying, sister, Lord, touch this congregation tonight. Lord, these people, I ask you to bless. I ask you to touch, Lord. If there be anybody here not right, God, I pray you save them. Save their lives. How about a friend? This is a good night to ask God into our hearts. Be ready for the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be one of the greatest times that there ever was. I would like to ask, is there anybody in the building you'd like to be prayed for? Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Just me and you. How about it? Anybody say, would you remember me? I want to be prayed for.
Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
Praise the Lord. Okay. This altar's open. Why don't we come in, season of prayer. Maybe kind of by yourself. As these are coming, why don't you come in behind them and pray, and somebody will slip in behind you and pray with you. Come.
So unworthy.